Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Awaken Us. First, I would like to give thanks to the Creator that leads, guides, and directs us in all things. My journey has turned into an eye-opening awakening, and I am here to share that awakening with you. This talk show will explore who are we? What's the difference between a person and a son? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way we do towards ourselves and others? And what does any of this have to do with the events we experience in our world daily? I would also like to thank everyone of you for your support you're giving me, my LinkedIn connections, my Twitter friends, my Facebook friends, my WordPress friends, my Goodreads friends, and many more. Thank you for your emails, your text messages, and your kind words. During the show, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition with added preference and edited back cover. Every 3 months, I give away three of my books through my website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click the link to enter and win. The giveaway starts this month, and the winner will be announced once a month. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book, and it will be a gift that will keep on giving. As always, I do invite you to visit my website for all information on upcoming events, study, videos, bookings, and news. The Awaken Us platform will air researchers that address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. The natural laws versus man's laws. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will in words? How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? Stay tuned in for all of our studies, then show yourself approved. Tonight on Awaken Us, I will read from my book, He Lives, A Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover. I will continue to speak on the root cause of factors of humanity's problems that we are facing and experiencing as a species, as a whole. I will continue to speak on the parts of the brain and how these parts play a part in who we are and how we behave in the world based on having an imbalance in one of these parts or the other. I will also speak on how we view the world based on these imbalances or having a balanced consciousness. The past 2 weeks, I begin with what is truth. Our lives are basically dictated by how much we harmonize with what actually is and then dealing with it effectively. Our lives will improve if we do. If we stray off the path of truth, the quality of our life decreases and we experience more and more suffering. I would like to bring some understanding about the nature of the problem so we can go to work on solving them. We recognize many of these problems that humanity faces, but we do not understand the nature cause of the problems. There are root core causal factors why we are experiencing suffering in the world. We need some basic information about the nature of the problems to begin talking about the solutions to these problems. These root core cause of factors is about creating a positive change in the world. It is about the great work. It's about what we care about. Care is the generative principle of the heart. Knowing the true difference between right and wrong behavior. Knowing these cause of factors is not just about changing yourself, but about taking action in the process of changing others. It's about being involved in the awakening process with others. You are not here just for your happiness. We are the voice of truth. Courage is a must. Seek truth and speak truth. Last but not least, waking up does not equate to perfection. The great work requires time and persistence. Never give up. Truth, love, and freedom is worth fighting for. I will continue to speak on the root cause of factors of our suffering for weeks to come in order to uplift, inspire, and inform the human consciousness of us all. You can listen to all of my podcasts from my main website, www.awaken-us.org. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Hold on, I'll be right back. Dismissing myths and strongholds, one mind at a time.
For immediate release, learning our part in the Creator's plan, He Lives, a Living Testimony has been published by Outskirts Press. Outskirts Press announces the latest version of the highly anticipated, motivational, and inspirational self-help book from Decatur, Georgia, published by writer Sharon Pelham. Mrs. Pelham's most recent book to date was revised in March 2019 with added preface and edited back cover. This revised 5x8 paperback book is available worldwide on book retailer websites such as Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The webpage at www.awakeus.org was updated simultaneously with the book's publication relaunching.
He Lives, a Living Testimony, second edition with added preface and edited back cover. Preface, parts 1 of 10. When I was about 17 years old, my earthly father laid dying. At that age, nothing in me could explain why. So I looked up and said, "I do not understand what just happened to my father. Help me." My nephew, also reared as my younger brother, placed his hand on me and told me not to be sad. Everything would be okay. The touch of his warm hand made me feel better. I believe this was the moment that the Creator allowed me to feel His presence. This book was birthed from a daddy's last words to his daughter. Sharon, he lives. The spirit of those words entered my heart, and I began to seek the Creator by living my life as a Christian. This book, He Lives, a Living Testimony, contains 17 stories in which I witnessed moments when the Creator showed up and showed out in my life. I've come to learn that if you ask, seek, and knock, you will come to learn about the Creator, His creation, and eternal life. Preface, Part 1. What's on your mind? Let's take it to the word. Call me. Dial 516-531-9476. All callers are screened prior to airing. Every 3 months, I give away my book through my main website, www.awaken-us.org. You can click on the link to enter and win. This giveaway has ended, and this month, winners are Ms. Amanda Menifee of Central South Carolina and Ms. Margaret Ream of Durham, North Carolina. I am promoting a message, not just selling a book. It will be a gift that will keep on giving. So do enter to win. To Awaken Us. This blog talk show will air researchers as myself and others that will address our collective human experiences, both good and evil. Did we break the first commandment of God when we took on a false identity from birth? Do we really own anything on this earth? Do we have free will? And words. How many meanings can a word have, and what words have we learned that keeps us in bondage, slavery? So tonight I'm going to talk about or address the natural laws versus man's law. What is natural law? The natural law is spiritual laws, a set of universal, inherent, objective, non-man-made, eternal and immutable, meaning unchanging over time or unable to be changed. There are conditions which govern the consequences of behavior of beings with the capacity for understanding the differences between harmful and non-harmful behavior. The understanding of natural law is centered upon bringing our own consciousness into alignment with objective morality. This means definitely knowing which behaviors are right because they do not cause harm to others, and which behaviors are wrong because they do cause harm to other beings. Hold on, I'll be right back.
He Lived, the Living Testimony, is 50 pages in length and is being aggressively promoted to appropriate markets with a focus in the motivational and inspirational self-help category. With U.S. wholesale distribution through Ingram and Baker & Taylor and pervasive online availability through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and elsewhere, He Lived, the Living Testimony meets consumer demand through both retail and library markets with a suggested retail price of $12.95. Additionally, He Lives a Living Testimony can be ordered by retailers or wholesalers for the maximum trade discount price set by the author in quantities of 10 or more from the Outskirts Press Direct Bookstore at www.outskirtspress.com/bookstore. For more information or to contact the author, visit www.awakeus.org.
On the past 2 weeks, I began with, what is truth? Our lives are basically dictated by how much we harmonize with what actually is and then dealing with it effectively. Our lives will improve if we do. If we stray off the path of truth, the quality of our life decreases and we experience more and more suffering. This is simply how natural law works. I talked about problem solving, but we don't want to do what it takes to solve the problems. We have to have enough information about the nature of the problem, the causal factors of what we are experiencing. If we don't have enough accurate information about what caused the problems, we will be powerless to solve those problems. So we have to look into the darkness, so to speak. We have to look at the so-called negative information of what is actually causing and creating problems we experience around us. We have to turn and confront those things and get down to the nature, the causal factors of the problem, if we ever hope to solve them. Again, there are only two reasons why people suffer. One, because they accept information which is simply not true, or two, they refuse to accept information which is true. Our ability to tell the truth from falsehood is the most critical capability that the human race possesses. We also need to talk a little bit about the fundamental acceptance of truth that people hold in their lives, the ones that they refuse to let go of and cling on to. This is called an axiom. An axiom is a belief that is regarded generally as already being established, already accepted as true. Most people's fundamental axioms simply are way off base from the true nature of reality that is actually taking place on this earth. We also got into how important self-knowledge is. We need to understand that we are a reflection of the whole universe. Accurate knowledge of self is accurate knowledge of the universe. We are holographic, integral parts of creation, and getting out of this mess that we're in as a species involves knowing one's self. We need to understand human consciousness and how human consciousness manifests itself, how to bring consciousness into balance and harmony, and also understanding how consciousness can become imbalanced and manipulated. On last week, I began to break down the human brain. Understanding the human brain is a big part of understanding human consciousness. This week, I'll be going more into what happens when the brain becomes imbalanced. I also will speak on what I call the biggest lie, the ideology called solipsism, S-O-L-I-P-S-I-S-M. Thinking that there is no such thing as truth and that truth cannot be known and it cannot be communicated to others. This is the most dangerous philosophy on earth. Tonight, I'm going to get back into the human brain and talk about the structures within the brain and how the brain becomes imbalanced. Hold on, I'll be right back. The human brain essentially has three components. These are the reptile brain, the mammal brain, and the human brain. The reptile brain is the brain stem. It's responsible for motor skills. It's responsible for our instinct for survival. And it's responsible for what's called the fight or flight response. It is used when you're making a decision, when you're confronted with surviving a situation, whether you want to fight or run away. This is the stress mode of the brain, the stress complex of the brain. Above the reptile brain, is the mammal brain, which is responsible for being able to experience emotions in the body. This is also called the limbic brain. Without the limbic system, a human being would not be able to experience emotions. And then there's the part of the brain that truly makes us human, and that's the human brain, or the neocortex. It's responsible for higher order thought functions, higher order thinking, conceptual thinking, being able to conceptualize experiences, reason, compassion, science, and all things that essentially separates us from the animal kingdom and make us truly human. When we study the neocortex further, we discover that it has two halves, two hemispheres. It has a left hemisphere and it has a right hemisphere. It's bilateral, symmetrical, meaning if you break it right down the middle in half, it looks the same on both sides, but there's a left side and there's a right side. And the left side has certain functions and qualities that makes possible the human's thoughts and behaviors. The left brain, considered the male side of the brain, the masculine part that addresses our logic, science, language, analytical thought, that's essentially what the left brain governs. It deals with everything that is rooted in the physical world. You get that? Let me say that again. It deals with everything that is rooted in the physical world. It deals with our everyday physical tasks. The other hemisphere of the brain is the right brain. That part, or this part of the brain, governs holistic thought functions. It's the feminine side of the human brain. It governs the feminine, holistic, intuitive, nurturing qualities of an individual. It also governs our ability to be creative beings, to engage in art and music and dance and things like that. Anything that's creative and expressive. The right side of the brain is considered the sacred feminine part of the brain, okay? It's the counterpart to the masculine left brain. Neither one of these hemispheres should dominate the other. A brain that is balanced is important. I want you to understand what happens if we engage and only left brain or right brain functions. So we talked about there are three complexes of the brain and what they do and what they make possible. If a person, through their interactions with other people, become a person that is largely engaged only in the physical world, but never the creative, the intuitive, or the spiritual side of things, then they are completely left brain dominant. Do I need to repeat that again? I will. If a person, through their interaction with other people, become a person that largely engages only in the physical world, but never the creative, the intuitive, or the spiritual side of things, then they are completely left brain dominant. These two parts of the brain are connected. They're connected through a bridge in the middle of the brain that goes in between the two hemispheres. This is called the corpus callosum. The corpus callosum, let me spell that, corpus callosum, the corpus callosum. It sends information back and forth between the two hemispheres of the brain. So, what I mean by that is the intended role of the neocortex of the higher order thought center of the human brain will become destabilized to a point where it will not act as the executive commander of the whole brain complex, consisting of the three complexes of the brain. So, envision. Any company that has an executive officer that makes the executive command decisions about the direction that that company or business or organization is going in. The CEO, the chief executive officer, makes those decisions and executes the direction that the company is going to go in. Now listen carefully. If that CEO were suddenly to become so ill that he could not fulfill his obligations or responsibilities to the company, middle management would have to step in and take over those responsibilities. So your brain works sort of like a company. So let's compare the neocortex to the CEO of this company, and let's look at the other two brain complexes that are not as advanced, the reptile brain and the limbic complex. They do not have the same capabilities as the neocortex. When the CEO, the neocortex, becomes destabilized, it goes into a state of left brain hemisphere or imbalance. When the CEO, the neocortex part of the brain, when it becomes destabilized, it goes into a state of left brain imbalance, and the left brain hemisphere becomes completely dominant over the right brain hemisphere. The other two complexes will start to assume executive control over the whole brain, and therefore essentially over the behavior of an individual. Again, if the left brain hemisphere becomes completely dominant, then one of the other two complexes in the brain becomes damaged. It actually has become physically damaged. The brain actually becomes darkened. There is no electrochemical activities in certain areas of the brain where there should be chemical and electrical activity. The limbic brain, or the emotional part of the brain, suffers the most, and it starts to shut down, not functioning as it should, by sending the chemicals that help us to experience our emotions into the body. Therefore, a person becomes largely emotionless and not truly capable of experiencing emotions in the same way that a healthy, holistic, functioning-brained person would experience and feel emotions in the body. This person then becomes owned by the R complex, the reptilian brain. Think about it. If the left brain, the part that deals with only the physical world, no consideration to the spiritual, no consideration to the intuitive, or consideration to the creative, dominates the person's thoughts, the emotional center of the brain, the limbic brain, suffers the most, along with the reptilian complex, the lower part of the stem, the fight or flight part of the brain. The neocortex becomes the governing or executive controller of the brain, and the person is essentially living in the reptile heart of the mind. This should explain a lot about most people we know. If they're paying attention to what is actually happening in our world, people are imbalanced in the left side of the brain. Most people probably have this form of brain imbalance in one form or another, to one degree or another. Hold on, I'll be right back. Now, let's talk about what happens when the right side of the brain dominates. The right side of the brain is the spiritual, the nurturing, the feminine, or the intuitive side of the brain. It's the right hemisphere. If a person lives chronically in these types of thought functions, the limbic or the reptile complex, and never really engages in the physical reality, they are constantly in a high state of mind, consistently in the spiritual. They are not rooted or grounded, and they don't really consider what's happening in the physical domain. Always thinking of the other world and always thinking of the world to come. They live for basic pleasures and do not ever look at anything that is dark or negative, never engaging in problems but escapisms. When the right side of the brain becomes dominant, the limbic brain or the emotional part of the brain basically runs haywire. And when the emotional part of your brain shuts down, that person becomes a slave to their feelings and emotions. They can't really control that which is going on within them, and they either live in fear or they become somebody who really can't discern truth because they believe whatever they're told and become far too passive. So the left brain imbalance makes someone become far too aggressive, and the right brain imbalance makes someone become far too passive, allowing themselves to be walked on. And again, when the left brain is dominant, the limbic brain, the emotional brain, shuts down, and the person becomes governed by the reptile brain. This person lives in a runaway emotional state. Hold on. Now, let's look at the qualities and worldviews that come into play when one of these states of consciousness takes over. When the left brain becomes chronically imbalanced, a person becomes a dominator and they want to control other people. They want to control other people's actions and decisions in their lives. And they often become physically aggressive towards other people if they don't get their way. This is a master form of brain imbalance. And when the left brain hemisphere is imbalanced, it creates a master type or a slave driver type dominator. When the right brain becomes chronically imbalanced, you get all of the slave tendencies in a person becomes engaged in feelings of unworthiness. A person will become self-loathing, never thinking that they're good enough. These people will become an addict of one form or another. And when the right brain is completely dominant, they will become people who are willing to follow whatever orders they're giving and become a willing slave. This creates somebody who is willing to be dominated, a slave. This explains just about everything that we are experiencing in this time in human history. There are those out there who will say this is too simple. It's more complex than that. We need to take care of the temple in man, the temple in you. We are experiencing negative consequences because we are not taking care of the greatest gift that has ever been gifted to our species. We're letting it fall into a state of dysfunction and disarray. And when we do that, we're going to get unpleasant, uncomfortable results. We really have to understand how we work because there are a lot of other people that understand how we work, and they're using it as a weapon. And most of us are completely uneducated as to how those methodologies of mind control really work. Another part of the brain is worth knowing. This is the pineal gland, which is awakened and active when the two hemispheres of the neocortex acts in unison and is in balance. The pineal gland actually activates higher levels of awareness, but only when we bring the male side of the brain and the female side of the brain together in balance, in harmony, in unison. Neither one is dominant over the other. They work in balance. There's a lot of symbolism to look at. If you put together the basic type of symbolism for a male and female, a symbol that comes from the ancient human history, you will get the male symbol, which is represented by an upward pointing triangle, and the sacred feminine inverted female triangle that represents the womb, so to speak. So if you put these two together, you get the seal of Solomon, and the seal of Solomon represents the left brain hemisphere in unison with the right brain hemisphere. This is known as the Star of David. It's called the Seal of Solomon because the male side of the brain is representative as the active solar energies. This action is associated with the sun and daytime, so the word for the sun, S-U-N, is soul, S-O-U-L, or solar energy. Then we have the lunar form of consciousness, the feminine, sacred feminine consciousness. This is the moon energy, the right brain. When they come together, it's a chemical wedding. It's the state of balance, brain, and the beginning of the awakening of the pineal gland or the all-seeing eye. The Seal of Solomon represents the six-pointed blazing star, as it is known. And that is the symbol to represent that state of consciousness that I think we need to ascribe to. When we refuse to acknowledge and admit truth into our lives, the human experience becomes degraded, and we must come into harmony with truth and accept it and live according to the principles of natural law, the human experience will flower, open up, and really become something that is really worth participating in, and instead of the lower level of consciousness. Our police are one example that as long as their paycheck is present, they will follow whatever orders they are given and continue to do things that really they don't have the right to do. And as long as a paycheck is flowing into them, the morality of those issues simply does not matter to many of them, stating, "I was just following orders." It's about personal responsibility. People want to claim that someone else is ultimately responsible for their behaviors, and that just isn't true. You are responsible for what you do, no one else. This illustrates perfectly why we're in the mess that we're in. Total freedom means nothing else than total responsibility. And if we're not willing to take total responsibility for the actions that we take in this world, in our lives, we're never going to have freedom. Freedom is based in the dramatic energy of love and bringing this uncomfortable information to people's ears, not to upset them. It is done because we genuinely care about the well-being of our fellow man, and that's what love really is. Really caring. Really giving a darn. And if we don't spread this information, we're not going to have true freedom. We really need people to not show fear. That's what the manipulators feed on. They want us to be afraid of them, but we need to look them in the eye and tell them that you're not afraid of them. We need to stand together in solidarity if we're ever going to make any real change happen. So words are not enough. You can't just say you don't want something that you know is immoral in the world. You have to take some action and actually get involved to educate other people. If you'd like to talk to me after the show, call in 5 minutes prior to the show ending, dial 516-531-9476. Let's talk about what happens when the brain hemispheres are balanced. When you bring the left and right brain hemisphere in unison and in harmony, and one brain hemisphere is not dominant over the other. The human neocortex, the higher order of the thought center of the human brain, acts in its proper role as the executive command center, and the executive functions of the whole brain complex is as it is intended to be, a healthy, fully functional human brain. A person isn't governed by an out-of-control emotional state, nor are they governed by total flight or fight response. Again, when the brain is balanced, a person is neither a master nor a slave, and have achieved a state that I call dominion. This is self-ownership, self-governing, and self-ruled. In other words, a being isn't divided anymore amongst themselves. They think, they feel, and so they act. These three modes of consciousness, thoughts, emotion, and actions, come in harmony with each other and is the third eye, or what has been called the one eye, the all-seeing eye. And the human pineal gland is exactly in the center of the head. It's inside what's called the middle chamber. The pineal gland is a cone-shaped gland that sits directly in the center of the head. When this gland becomes active, it essentially awakens a human being's higher state of awareness and what is actually taking place within them and around them. Their true discernment in a state of consciousness opens up, and this is done by balancing the brain hemispheres. I will get into different techniques that makes this state of consciousness occur in a later podcast. We need to make that our goal if we're really going to come out of the problems that we're facing as a species. We really need to work on ourselves. The mystic traditions have called it the temple inside mankind, and that's the human brain. I can't stress it enough. It really is the underlying focus, the underlying causal factor of what generates our experiences in the world. It can't be overstated how important the brain is to what we experience. Yet you see people doing all kinds of crazy destructive behaviors to the brain through substance abuse, through engaging in activities that will damage the brain permanently. It's like riding a motorcycle without a helmet, or cage fighting, or even boxing. We need to have respect for the temple in man. The brain is too precious. The brain generates the experiences externally in our world. It's a reflection of what's going on inside of us. It really is. The spiritual journey is about seeking truth. That really is ultimately what it is about. And if you buy into the notion that there is no such thing as objective truth, which is a Solemnist claim, these people believe that perception is reality. They believe that nothing really exists independently of the individual who is observing anything, and there is no external reality, no external truth, and that they decide what truth is. The truth isn't something that one discovers or make up based on one's personal preference. You need to use your will to come out of what state of mind control you may be in. It needs to be thoroughly renounced and rejected. There is such a thing as truth. It is that which is. It has actually already occurred and has undergone what has taken place and occurring in the world. It's not up for debate. Now, whether we discover truth is a whole different story. There is no belief or faith required. You do have to have some form of belief that truth exists to go seeking it. The truth seeker doesn't actually already have the truth, otherwise you wouldn't be seeking it, and the ones not seeking are called the dead. There are people out there who refer to living people that are completely off the mark about the nature of the reality in which they live, and they call them the dead. So if there is no such thing as truth, then there is no such thing as God. The idea that you get to determine truth based on your personal preferences leads to an ideology known as moral relativism. Moral relativism is the notion that there is no such thing as objective right and wrong, because after all, you get to determine what truth is. They really think we get to determine what morals are based on their personal preferences of what's good for me and what's bad for me, and it doesn't matter how it affects anybody else. I get to make it up. After all, there's no truth, so there's no such thing as natural law consequences for our actions and behaviors. Morality has become completely subjective and based in the perception of the beholder. This is complete and utterly nonsense. There is such a thing as moral rights and moral wrongs. This is why we have so many people taking immoral actions. Natural human rights doesn't matter to them as long as a paycheck is flowing, and as long as they can transfer the responsibility to someone else, like a commander officer or a politician or a banker or anyone else who signs the paychecks, they are fine. Moral relativism is 100% total tyranny, because if there's no such thing as right or wrong, nothing anyone really does to anyone else will matter. Darwinism is the idea that evolution of the species is determined by a higher state or class of society, and certain people have the right to rule over and conquer and even kill and destroy lower classes of beings. So Darwinism, like eugenics, is killing people based on an assessment of their breeding worth and their gene pool. And this, my friend, leads to total tyranny. I hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast. My live podcast will continue through next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time before our next seminar series starting October 6th called Hello, My Name is Marcus, the Servant King Podcast. This podcast will explore our confusion of things. Again, you can always come back to listen to this podcast and all of my podcasts from my main website, www.awaken-us.org, under podcasts/videos. Reviews and comments can be emailed to us at awakenus@yahoo.com. Also, visit my main website to purchase my book, He Lives the Living Testimony, second edition, with added preface and edited back cover, and other uplifting items such as my Creator poster, the Natural Law poster, and more information on upcoming shows, events, podcasts, book signings, and much more. I will now accept any callers to the show. Dial 516-531-9476. That would be 516-531-9476. And press number 1 to speak with me. And do tell a friend.
Understand, ain't here to judge, just to take a stand. The greater plan, the creator's plan. Let's all rise like the day began. Reach out and touch with the Savior's hand. On rock we stand like his native land. Let the ways of love be the ways of man.